And here we are. So there's our reading is taken from John 17. And the page numbers on your Bible there. 1086. Four verses is what I have. And I'll be reading it as you're trying to find it. So it says, beginning of verse 15 of John 17. It simply says this. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. That's our text. And we look at that now in a moment in context. Lord, our prayer is simple. May you speak to us through this four verses of scripture this day. May the Spirit of God rest upon us. May he be our teacher. And may we benefit from this time, Lord, as we look into this scripture together. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus is only possibly an hour away from being arrested. He is praying the last prayer that the disciples hear together. And it's he prays for three separate things, himself, his disciples, and those who would believe in the ministry of the disciples afterwards. It's a big, long prayer. But in the middle of this section, at verse 15, he's praying specifically for the disciples, or in this case, the apostles, who are in the room with him. After this, they'll sing a psalm. They will go out into the garden, and there he will be arrested. That's the context. You have that. The verse that I'm going to work through primarily will be verse 17, hence why it's in a different color. But just briefly, in what does Jesus pray for his disciples? And in verse 15, is protection. He says it very clearly, my prayer is not you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That was very much an immediate prayer. He knew what was literally coming down along the line. He knew the physical danger that the disciples would be in with his imminent arrest and in this being crucified. But he also knew the spiritual powers of darkness that were behind that as well and that would come against him. We know when they got the very first taste of it, they ran because they were utterly petrified. So he prays for protection from them, which is quite amazing. So that's very much at the top of his agenda there. And actually what the disciples didn't know at the time and what they knew after was they were in danger all of the time. It's just that Jesus was able to protect them when they were out doing the ministry with him. You can notice from many times in scripture that people wanted to throw Jesus over cliffs and do all kinds of things with him. So there was imminent danger there. So protection for them, that's the first thing. Verse 15 is a remarkable declaration. He's saying of these men, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And by that he means is that they have been changed. And their value system, they're not perfect, but they have been changed. And how they view God and how they view the world is very much in line with the way Jesus has done it, and the way Jesus sees it. So they're becoming more like Jesus in their thinking and in their actions. And that's the declaration. Verse 17 is the petition or the request. This is what he asks for. After asking for protection, making the declaration, he says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. That's what he's asking for next. And in verse 18, is as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So there are people with a commission, which really is evangelism, just telling other people what they knew about Jesus and taught and done. So that gives you an idea of what he was praying for and what was on his mind. There's more, obviously, but just to put that into context for us. Moving on though, sanctify. If someone says, I'd like to sanctify you, would you know what they meant? I suppose it all depends on the tone of voice they said it. So to sanctify, well, what does it mean? Because that's what he says. So I looked at a variety of different versions as I do. The very same verse, right? It says in the Amplified, if you can see it there, you can still see it, yeah. Sanctify them in the truth. And then in the blue writing it says, set them apart for your purposes, make them holy. Set them apart for your purposes, make them holy. And then the declaration, your word is truth. That may give you a slightly better understanding of what it means to sanctify. Another version says it simply again, dedicate them to yourself by means of truth. Your word is truth. So sanctification means set apart for your purposes, also meant to be dedicated, certainly means that. Another version says, make them holy by your truth, teach them your word, which is truth. And then the verse that we're looking in, and the version we're using, of course, is the NIV, and it says, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. So are you with me? You know what sanctify means at this stage? Blank looks everywhere. It's all right. We have all the... You'll get it eventually. So to sanctify means this, to set apart for God's purposes. And that's what sanctify always means. It means it's either, it can be an object, it can be a thing, it can be a building. It is being set aside solely for the purposes of God. So when Jesus is saying, and he prayed to the Father, sanctify them, he's saying that these apostles in this case are specifically set aside to do certain things for God. That's what it means. Or to dedicate yourself to God. These disciples, or in this case these apostles, did follow Jesus when hundreds, if not thousands, had left him down through the times. So they were dedicated. Actually, they were the most dedicated bunch that he had left. But he's praying about that dedication for them. Or another way it says, make them holy by your truth. Sanctify them by the truth. And that's the verse that the Lord has given us. Now, Jesus could have asked for any number of things. He asked for the protection. But why would he pray, sanctify them? Why would he do that? Because they were the most committed. Set them apart for your purposes. He's asking the Father for this. Dedicate them to yourselves. To yourself, that's to the Father again. Make them holy by your truth. Sanctify them. So it means all of that. And I suppose the question you're asking, well, maybe that's what I meant to do. Does it have any relevance to us? Well, we'll get there eventually. I was looking to see if I could find something that would help us to understand sanctify, because we don't use that word. And if we use the word holy, we usually use it in another, more negative connotation. Who wants to be a holy Joe? Does that make sense? Or a holy show? As my mother used to say, you're making a holy show to me. So holiness is not something that most people go towards. Don Carson, we've heard him several times, we've used some of his stuff, and commenting, and it's only part of the comment, he says, ideally, if somebody set aside for God and for God's purposes alone, that person will do only what God wants and hate all that God hates. This is what it means to be holy as God is holy. So he's just giving us an example of what it means to be holy. It means to be in line with the purposes of God and to be dedicated to that. And to go with what God goes with and to dislike what God dislikes. Does that make sense? That's what it means. And that's his understanding. And that's the first quotation of it. So make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. So I eventually settled on this translation, because make and teach, we can understand. The question really is, why is this verse important? I struggled to get it together, as you can see why. Now, why in the heck is this thing important? Because, I mean, we've had this, and we give it all of 3 seconds of concentration and say, there's nothing in that for me anyway. Forget about it. I spend days on it. And let me give you a few reasons why I think it is important. First of all, this verse is making a declaration that holiness is an ongoing process. Make them holy by your truth. He's talking about the apostles. They had the very best seminary education that anyone could ever have. They were able to talk with Jesus, ask questions. They saw him do his miracles. They heard these amazing sermons and all his interaction. And they knew that in among them was God in human flesh. But when he's saying to the Father, make them holy, because he's gone back to the Father, by your truth, that implies that holiness is an ongoing progress, a process. You just don't arrive at it. It grows in you and you develop it as you move along. They hadn't landed as yet. Does that make sense? No, I know the passage in Hebrews, God has made, you know, holy, and he's perfecting those that he has made holy. I understand that. But here what he's saying is, there's an ongoing process to go on with the apostles. And this is his elite group of people, the most highly trained. The next second reason why I think it's important is this, that how do you become holy? Most people say you go to church. You do good stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Go off to seminary or Bible school. He doesn't say any of that stuff because he's talking to God the Father. He says, make them holy by your truth. So implied in this verse, if you are interested in being holy, and this is what you want to do, it means to get holy is what? Truth. You cannot be holy without it. And that's what he's saying. And that's what he's praying. So holiness is an ongoing process because they were like him, but they hadn't reached any stage of perfection. Truth is the means to holiness as far as Jesus is concerned. Now, many people would think very differently. They would consider all kinds of religious activities. He ruled that out. Well, that wasn't important to him anyway. And then the third reason why this is important is, what do you mean by truth? Where do you go for it? And he says, teach them your word, which is truth. But that's what he's been doing. That's what he's been the last 3 years doing. You'd understand this verse if he was starting out. And he just had called the apostles. And, you know, they're having their first official meeting, and he's praying about their journey of faith as they begin the process. He's now leaving, go back to the Father, and he's leaving the entire ministry and the entire church in their hands. They will continue on where he has left off. And as far as he's concerned, this is what they need to keep going. Isn't that remarkable? Now, would you have got that if you had looked at that verse for longer than 3 seconds? But that's what he's praying for. This is quite remarkable. And that's only one request in a big, long prayer. You can see how much there's actually in it. So holiness, ongoing process. Truth is the means to holiness. And God's word is the truth as far as Jesus is concerned. Quite remarkable, isn't it? All right, we'll move on. Sanctify them in the truth, is the NIV. Your word is truth. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. And that's the New Living Translation. But that leaves us with this. How? I understand the words. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. I understand that. So we understand the thing of make. We understand the teacher. Thing of teaching, but how? How is it going to happen? Because he's not asking that man would teach them. He's not asking the follower to send them to the best seminary that there is in Jerusalem. And remember, Google hasn't arrived, or YouTube. So, the means of getting insight and revelation has to come from only one source. And he's only looking for one source. So how is all this going to happen? He's asking for divine tuition. Make them holy by your truth. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to God the Father. Teach them your word, which is truth. So who is the source of truth? God himself. So what is he asking the Father? He's asking the Father to continue to teach the disciples God's truth. So what he's actually saying, when you put it all together, for this to work, is there has to be ongoing divine tuition. And here's what it means. They were being taught by Jesus, who is the Word of God himself, in human flesh, while he was on earth. But that needs to continue as they move on in ministry, specifically for this group of people, obviously. And that's his request, that the teaching has begun, that has come from God. Jesus was able to say that he only taught as the Father taught him. He obeyed as things were being revealed to him. So the disciples had what we would call today divine tuition. What they were getting from God. And that's specifically what he asked the Father for. Now that's remarkable, isn't it? Because men look to see where you go to school, college, and how you graduated and how you did in your exams. He bypassed all of that. I'm not knocking that, I'm just saying he bypassed it. What these men wanted, they need to hear and learn from God. They heard so much and they'd done well, but there was more to come. And they needed ongoing divine tuition. Now here's the question. Have you been taught by God? If we were to interview the disciples or the apostles, they would say yes. That's exactly who we've been taught by. How do we know? Well, the book we're reading from there is called John's Gospel. John got revelation and was able to write the thing down. Matthew was there that night when Jesus prayed that prayer and he got another gospel. Peter was there, admittedly he did a bit of a runner, we acknowledge that, but he wrote two epistles afterwards. So was Jesus' prayer being answered? The answer is, yes it was. To the point of where they did get divine tuition and they were taught by God. They remember the stuff they had forgotten by Jesus. The Spirit of God came upon them and there was continuous ongoing revelation for them as the thing was growing along and they were able to hear from God. Now the question I'm asking here this morning is, have you been taught by God? It's a great question, isn't it? All right, it might not have come to exactly the same route as the disciples. Do you know what I'm saying? But the question really, it's a great question to ask. Pretty much everyone has been taught by man. And you can be taught by God via man, of course you can. But can you say in your heart of hearts, at some stage along your spiritual journey, that you have received divine tuition? I would say, that was God. There was no question about it, but that was God. It's a great question, isn't it? Because that is precisely what he's praying for these men. There would be ongoing divine tuition. It came, of course, in their understanding of the Old Testament and how Jesus helped them to interpret it. It also came as Revelation came and as they wrote, we say, the Gospels and some of the epistles. And obviously divine tuition came through a man who wasn't even present that night. who was responsible for writing half of the New Testament eventually. He too got divine tuition. And we know him today as the Apostle Paul. And what they got and what's of benefit has been given to us in the Scriptures. So, have you been taught by God? Well, you could say, I have read the Scriptures. I have discovered you can read the Scriptures and get almost nothing out of it. Have you discovered that at times? Or at times you can get a lot. So it's not just as simple as opening your Bible. Many people open their Bibles and they get nothing. And so, like when I'm opening my Bible, sometimes I get a lot, sometimes it's very dry. So as I was walking my way through this verse, I was saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? It took me an awful time to figure out John 17. I said, Lord, could you not give me a handier one? And so it really thinks, is, have you been taught by God? Can you look and say, that was God? Now, God speaks through his word. We know that. But this is where it may have come through a sermon that you heard, or it may have come through something else, but of where you can say, that was God. That is so important. Because when you have that, sometimes people say things in sermons and they don't even realize how influential it can be in somebody's life. Because through that the Lord can speak. But have you been taught by God? Great question. I haven't had huge amounts, but I've had times of divine tuition of where something has really come alive to me. Sometimes it's hearing somebody saying something. Sometimes it would be really a portion of scripture for myself. I needed a great deal of divine tuition, not only mine, divine patience, as I tried to figure out this verse. But it's great, isn't it? An awful lot of people go to church and are never taught by God. Does that make sense? I'm not knocking the qualities of teaching, and I'm just saying many people go to church. It'd be interesting to get a survey and say, how many of us have gone to church? Can you ever say that you were divinely taught? Or you had divine tuition of where God broke through and said, that was God. And it really was God. Because that is what he asked for. All right. Another quote. Don Carson, I was struggling. When you see quotations, he means is I'm trying to find something that will help us to understand. But he gives us the concept of being set apart, which is sanctified. He said, Jesus' followers will be set apart from the world and reserved for God's services. And they were. Insofar as they think and live in conformity with the truth, the word of revelation supremely mediated through Christ himself and then through the power of the Spirit. So they were set apart, but the word will be only of benefit in as far as they think about it and live in conformity to it. That is quite a profound statement, isn't it? I think he's right. He says it very well. Truth is only good to you if you're willing to come in line with it and do what it says. So, have you been taught by God? Let me give you three options, right? Rather than give you a yes or a no, because maybe this is help you. And obviously, if you're going to be taught by God, it's something that's going to come from Scripture for the most part. First of all, never been taught by God. I can say I have attended loads of all kinds of services, all kinds of denominations, but I can never say in my entire life that I've ever received anything from God that has made sense. There are people who can say that. Never been taught by God. That's one option. And I put a hand for the possibility of our web audience. A. B. Yes, I have been taught by God, but got stuck somewhere on the journey. No, I think there's an awful lot of people in that category, right? There was definitely divine tuition somewhere, right? There was definitely a breakthrough. There was definitely communication and insight was given, right? And wisdom and all that. But somewhere along the way, things came undone. And they got stuck. I think that describes an awful lot of people out there today. They've had some instruction and even a bit of divine instruction, right? But they got stuck. So they've gone no further. Spiritual babies, if you know what I mean. Or moderately confused, disillusioned Christians or something. But they're stuck. They're out there and they're stuck. I think that's true. I'm glad people like that. And another option would be this. Lots of teaching. Oh man, have we divine instruction? We have coming out of our ears. But little application. We don't do actually anything with it. One of the great things about evangelical communities, of which we are one of them, there is very good teaching. It's not perfect, but it is good teaching. And there is a fair amount of divine tuition through it. Not all of it, but a fair amount, right? But the truth, the feeling with it, the failure with us in that community is there's a great deal of teaching, but there's very little application. We end up doing almost nothing with it, or very little at least. Not everyone. That's the thing. For some crowd, they have never been taught by God. So they say, I'd love to get instructed by God. For others, I'm on the way, but I got stuck, you know. After confirmation, I got no further. And that's 30 years ago. And that's the truth with some. Or I went to a prayer meeting, whatever the case be. But says, man, I've got great teaching. Listen on the web, all kinds of things. I even listen to O'Sullivan occasionally. And what you do with it, actually not a whole point. But I enjoy listening anyway. Does that make sense? And I think a lot of people do that. I think that is God's honest truth. All right. One more slide and we're finished. Being taught by God. I want to give you three possibilities. I can't do this for you. Does that make sense? This is between you and God, right? And all we can do is ask him if he'll do it for us. There's three possibilities you have here this morning. First thing is, you'll be taught by scripture, that's for sure. But divine tuition, being taught by God, your first option is yes, please. Because that is precisely what Jesus asked for his disciples. So Jesus is more interested in your spiritual development than you are. Actually, it's a priority as it was for his disciples, and he's interested in mine. Spiritual progress. So we have no question about it. Is it the will of God? Certainly, we're on track therein. So is that something that you would like? Yes, please. That is one option, right? But it's not our only option. Option number two is this. Interested, but I need more time to think and consider it. It's not a definite yes. It is not a definite no, but nobody feels pressure that way. Jesus went around and offered profound truth to people, but nobody was forced to learn. Nobody was forced to follow. So Jesus, I'm interested, but I need a bit more time to think about that. Because being taught by God, you will not be the same. You know what I mean? And there's one more option. Are you ready for the last option? This one you'll have figured out. So if there's yes, please, interested, but need more time, there's only one more option left. Thanks, but no thanks, not interested. Jesus got all three responses from people when he was on earth. He got yes, please, and there was the apostles and some. And some people were interested, but more time, and they came on board as the thing grew along. Others said thanks, but no thanks, not interested. They are your options before God. Now, when I put it all together, and someone's supposed to say, oh, Sullivan, how do you receive divine tuition? And as I look back, you receive it in a number of ways, right? Sometimes the thing is just landed into you without realizing. So sometimes it's the books that I read, it's the people that I listen to or watch. Does that make sense? And sometimes there are people that I'm looking and reading today that I had little value, and that's the trouble to say, but I wasn't ready for them 10 years ago. And it was the right book, it was the wrong book at the wrong time for me. Today it's the right book at the right time, and I'm ready to hear what it is they're saying, and I'm ready to understand it and go to that place. So one of the ways that the Lord definitely speaks to me is through Christian authors. No question about it. No, you always have to discern a bit of discernment, because like myself, none of them are perfect. At least they'll point you in the right direction. So that's one of the ways that I see the Lord guiding me. Second way I see him guiding is that he leads me to different preachers at different times. And you've heard me talking about the lads there that have really helped me. And they just give me insight that I wouldn't necessarily have. That's another way. And I can point to loads of examples of that. A ton of example I can point to, which is quite amazing, is, and this just happened to me yesterday. I was out walking in Portmarnock Beach. To enjoy the Irish summer, as it was, at the morning time, and I was coming back after walking Pip, and I was listening to, as one does after Portmarnock Beach, I was listening to a country music station. This is filling my heart in a different way. And I heard a song that I heard, I think it was recorded in 75. That's a long time ago. I was very young. And I heard that song, and I heard that song yesterday morning, and I must have heard that song 30 times. That's really it. And I heard it yesterday morning, and it was like hearing it for the first time. But in that, the Lord began to speak to me. Listen to the words. Listen to what has been said, and listen to what it does to your heart. Would never have done that before. Would never have copped it. And I'll put that into a form of a sermon, if the Lord permits me, at another time. But I was able to recognize something of the Spirit of God in that. Does that make sense? Yesterday morning. No, that is not the same as Scripture. But nevertheless, what it's saying is, there was something in that song. Because I asked the Lord the question, and he gave me the answers through the song. I wasn't expecting that. But he gave me the answer through the song. So there's the question. There's your answer. Quite profound. Anyway, that's all I'm saying. Divine tuition, being taught by God. That is what he has given us. One more thing and I'm finished. Many, many people, certainly in our tradition, will go and learn stuff. But learn it just for the sake of learning it. Because when you read in verse 18 of John 17 there, that message and that revelation that Jesus asked for was to be to the benefit of other people as well. As the disciples got the revelation, and as they went out, they spread what they got and they gave it to other people. They even went to the trouble of writing it down so that you and I could read it. God is interested in your spiritual development. He is interested in all of that. Put it all together and someone listens and says, this makes no sense to me. Then all I say in closing, the only thing you need to ask then, Lord, will you teach me truth in a way that I can understand it? Lord, will you just teach me truth in a way I can understand it? I think if someone does that, the Lord will answer that prayer. I genuinely believe that. Lord, we commit this, what we've just said. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, Scripture is in front of us, but we can read it and miss it. And, Lord, we have done it, all of us. And there are times, Lord, when we read it and we get insight. But, Lord, if the most holiest and the most mature were the apostles, and they need it, help to keep growing, Lord, we need it as well. And we ask, Lord, for those who are asking you, Jesus, I want to be continued to be taught by your word, given by the Father, revealed by Scripture, so that I may continue in being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. Lord, let me be open to the ways that you give it to me. Lord, you'll give it to me through your word, but also give it to me in a variety of other ways to help me to understand. May we be open to that. In your name we pray. Amen.